With Laura Fox. Podcast.
Now, food labels can be confusing and tricky to understand, and we're often bombarded with information that we haven't a clue off. Most of us just do not have the time to work out what they actually mean. But joining me now to help clarify some questions that we all probably have is registered dietitian Orla Walsh. Orla, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning.
Thank you. I think it's a topical topic these days. A lot of people are asking me questions about it on social media all the time, or within the clinic. And so I was happy when you said, would you like to come in and talk about this?
Yeah, but it is so interesting, especially this time of year as well, Orla, if you think about it, because, you know, it's January and everybody does get a bit more conscious because you want to kick off the new year to a great start. Yeah. So being confused with food labels is just kind of gobbledygook to some people. They have all the nutritional information on them, but what, like, is that the information that needs to be there? Is that mandatory?
Yeah, so it's mandatory on prepackaged food. You should actually see the legal stipulation there. It's really hard to understand, but it's pretty much if you can open the packet and eat it straight away that it is a food product and it needs to have nutritional labelling, as well as lots of other things such as an ingredients list, the allergies are highlighted or underlined, special storage tips, place of origin, how to store it. You know, for example, if you open dried fruit, it might say store in the fridge and consume within X amount of days.
Yeah, because that's the bit that always catches me. I'm like, I always open something and then I'm like, oh, that'll be grand now. And a week later, I go back to it and it's like, oh no, there's mold on the top of this. It literally says eat within 3 days. Yeah. Let's start with the basics of this, right? What is the most important elements that we need to look out for on a food label? Because look, there's a lot of information on there. I try my best and then I have no idea what I'm looking at.
Well, from my point of view, the most important thing is the use-by date.
Okay.
Because that's when you need to use it by. And that could be life or death. You don't want to be catching any unnecessary bugs. Best before just means that it might not be as tasty or the texture might have changed or some of these other things might be different. But it's still safe to eat.
Okay.
So you don't need to throw something out because it's gone past the best buy, but you do if it's gone past the use buy. And that's the most important thing. I would say the second most important thing is to try and buy things that aren't in packages a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because really, there's a lot of people keep asking about food labels. And I'm like, well, that's kind of looking at how healthy is my processed food when really I prefer you to be going, well, is there some of that processed food I could be eating more whole food versions? Okay. So for example, in terms of breakfast cereals, you know, could you possibly have oats a little bit more? And it doesn't have to be porridge or overnight oats. There's lots of baked oats recipes and loads of things you can do with oats. So for most people, I go, okay, well, perhaps we need to pivot actually away and have a lot more minimally processed foods rather than really go into the nitty-gritties of how healthy my processed food is.
So trying to understand these things where in actual fact you could make a change and it would just be 10 times.
Yeah, exactly. Because when we look at nutritional intake in the population where people are having too much sugar, they're having too much salt, 80% of people are fibre deficient. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this could be solved just moving towards a whole food diet, because a whole food diet would naturally contain less salt, naturally contain less sugar and would contain more fibre.
So okay, we'll go back to the labels now for a second, because if we talk about the so-called traffic light system that you see on the front of products, what is that all about?
It's a traffic light system trying to encourage us to have foods less with less fat in them, less sugar in them, less salt in them. And when it's green, it means that it's low in that particular thing. When it's red, it means it's high in it. And amber or the yellow is somewhere in between.
Okay.
However, the somewhere in between can be a really big group. So for example, the sugar is, if you're 5.2 grams of sugar, is very, very close to being a low sugar product, but it's in the amber. And that grouping means that up to maybe 22 and a half grams could be sugar. So that's a big range. That's if every 4 grams is a teaspoon of sugar, there could be 4 teaspoons of sugar difference between the two products, but they both have an amber rating.
The one thing that always catches me out is the portion sizes. Like, you know, when you see something that says 2 servings, like, is that standardized like across the board? Because I look at it, let's say me and Brian, for example, I'm like, it's 2 portions. Is that 2 portions for me and 1 portion for you, or how are we working this out?
It's only to be used as a guide because it can be quite confusing. If you look at breakfast cereals, they're advocating we have 30 grams, but we would never have 30 grams of pasta in the evening time. Yeah. We'd probably have 100. We'd never have 30 grams of rice. We might have 75 grams of rice. So it can be misleading. misleading because, and the problem, it does create problems as well. So for example, people would be like, I just don't find porridge filling. And mm-hmm. it turns out they're having 30 grams of oats, which is equivalent of to one slice of bread. It's not that much food.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, my 1.5-year-old has 30 grams of oats. Perhaps you just need more of the porridge rather than blaming porridge for not being filling.
That's actually such a fair example, isn't it? It's like, it is. You will not be able to survive on the same breakfast that a 1.5-year-old can.
Exactly. It's like those diets advocating for 1,200 calories a day. I'm like, that's what a toddler needs. You know, if you're struggling to follow that, you should be struggling to follow it.
Yeah, maybe you have to have a deeper look. Sometimes I get a bit confused about claims on food packaging. Can you give me some clarity on them? Like, if you think about something that gets me, might say 60 grams of carbohydrates, of which 15 grams are sugar.
Yes.
Break that down for me, please.
Okay, when it comes to carbohydrates include sugar.
Okay.
Carbohydrates, when we look at complex carbohydrates, they're just longer in length. So if you were to look under a microscope, you could liken starchy complex carbohydrates to a pearl necklace, while simple sugars or sugar would be like pearl earrings, in that they're one or two pearls in length, while a complex carbohydrate is at least three pearls in length.
Okay.
So it's about how long the carbohydrate is. And if the carbohydrate is longer, it takes more time to break it into individual pearls to go into our bloodstream. So sugar goes into our bloodstream quite quickly because it's only one or two sugars in length. So it just needs to be absorbed, really. Yeah. When it comes to complex carbohydrates, it needs to chop it all down to digest it into the singular pearls, and then it goes into the blood. So when it comes to sugar, we are trying to reduce how much sugar we're taking. So when it says 60 grams of carbohydrate, of which 15 is sugar, you know that 45 is the more complex, 15 okay. is the sugar. And ideally, we would like the sugar to be less than 5 grams per 100 grams in okay. order to be a low sugar.
That is product. A really great description of the pearls, because now I can visualize.
Exactly. And it's the same with all the things. I think people are obsessed with glucose spikes or carbohydrate or sugar spikes after meals, but all our food is like pearl earrings. Like protein's the same.
Yeah.
So proteins can be very long or very short, but they all need to be broken down into singular pearls in our bloodstream. And same, you know, fats is a little bit more complicated, but it's similar. So it's the same for all of them. And what we are trying to do is eat these foods in their whole food version so that they take ages to be digested. Because the problem and where the obsession with food labels coming in is ultra processed food. And the thing about ultra processed food is it's digested so quickly. So it goes into our mouth, into our stomach, into our small intestines, and it doesn't need to go much further than the small intestines. All of it is absorbed into our body. When it comes to whole food, it actually has to, it's digested from the moment we eat it to the moment it goes into the loo, like the whole journey down our tract. And that means that it's more filling and fuller for longer, but it also means that we're not digesting all of it. So even though there might be a certain amount of calories on a wrapper, if you were to eat 100 grams of almonds, 30% of those calories will go into the loo and 70% will be absorbed. So when it comes to whole foods, we are designed to actually poo out a lot of the calories. And when it comes to ultra processed food, we absorb all of them.
Well, see, okay, there we go. That's like a perfect example for anyone who might be stuck right now. It's like you're going to be better off just going for the whole food side of things in the long run, and you're going to feel fuller because of it.
Exactly. It stays in your gut for longer, and it is supposed to go down to the large intestines, that large bowel. And what it does there is these whole foods, they feed the microbiome there and nourish it. And they not only feed the microbiome, but they feed the lining of the gut. So from a gut health point of view, we want our whole gut to be nourished. And that what's really important is the food that passes through it is what nourishes it. So we want that food to be of good quality.
We need to feed our gut.
We do need
that gut feeling
gut.
To keep exactly. us going throughout the day. What about these, right? And they're just a couple that we need to throw through and what they actually mean. If we go through like low fat, low sugar, fat free, reduced fat or sugar, fortified with vitamins and minerals. I haven't a clue what that last one means.
Yeah, and to be honest, I had to look up and make sure I was right with the numbers. It is so complex, because even when it comes to just say reduced, what it means is that it contains 30% less than the okay. standard thing. So reduced fat cheese, 30% less fat than standard cheese. But then, for example, there's a caveat and they go, well, except for salt, as long as it's less than 25% to something else, then that can be reduced. So there's all these little caveats which are gas, and even like with low fat, it's less than 3 grams per 100 grams if it's a solid food, but less than 1.5 grams per 100 mils if it's a liquid. So there's all these different numbers for people to remember, and I think it's very complex, and it's you would spend, I would worry how much time people would spend in the supermarkets trying to do their shop if they're reading labels on everything. And I suppose if you were to push yourself and go, well, if I chose more whole foods, foods of one ingredient that don't come in a packet and I don't have a label to read, it'd be a much quicker shop and a much healthier one too.
Okay, fair enough. Is there any way to is there any order to the way ingredients are listed on the back products?
Yeah, so if, for example, you're looking at the ingredients list, the main thing will be at the start.
Okay.
So if, for example, the first ingredient is sugar, well, you know that that it's product sugar. Is predominantly sugar. If it's second, sometimes it is predominantly. It's interesting, they have to tell you how much of the ingredient is in the product if it's in the title.
Okay.
So, for example, if they say a raisin bar, they have to tell you how much of the ingredients is raisin. So if it's 12% in brackets beside it, then 12% of what you're eating is raisin. So it is, it can be helpful, but then sometimes it can be hard to understand because, well, two things: that they might not need, sugar might not be in the title, so they might not tell you how much sugar is in it. You'll just see that it goes down the list, and the further it is from the top, the less sugar there will be. But as well as the off with sugars and the nutritional label, they don't differentiate between naturally occurring sugars and added sugars. And we're not worried about the sugar naturally found in milk and yogurt or fruit, but we are more concerned about the added sugars to the product. So you not only have to look at the nutritional label for the off with sugars, but also then the ingredients list to see if it's been added. And to complicate matters further, there are so many names for sugar. So if it ends in O's, it's a sugar, but the list goes on. Like honey is a sugar, syrup is a sugar. So there's so many different things to look out for. So it is very complex and it is very time consuming.
Finally, Orla, most of us are too busy to examine what we buy in the supermarket. What is a quick way of assessing a product that you want to make healthier choices? Are we just going with whole foods?
You're just going with whole foods. When it comes to carbohydrates, you're focusing in on the fiber content. Okay. That's the most important thing, because 80% of people listening will be fiber deficient. So if you're looking at the carbohydrates, you're trying to get that fiber number as big as possible. If there's greater than 6 grams of fiber, it's high fiber. So just because it's brown in color doesn't mean it's necessarily going to be a healthier carbohydrate. So when it comes to carbohydrates, look at the fiber number one and the sugar number two. You're looking for less than 5 grams per 100 gram.
Fantastic. Orla, thank you so much for coming in with us today. That has made things a lot clearer, and it's actually just made the decision process even easier again. If you are stressing that much trying to go through all of the labels all of the time, then it's probably going to take you too long, so you may as well just buy the bag of spinach instead and throw it in on top of everything. Thank you so much for coming into us today. That was registered dietitian Orla Walsh. We'll be right back after these.
With Laura Fox Podcast.